From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, when it comes to easy voting access, how does Texas compare to Delaware? This isn't the first time that Democratic lawmakers broke quorum. What happened back then? And the Texas State Senate didn't break quorum, so why are so many Texas Democratic senators in D.C.?
When are you going to stand up? When are you going to fight back? And I've heard that so many times from so many people.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The quorum-busting Democratic lawmakers have shut down the Texas legislature's special session in order to keep a Governor Abbott-backed voters restriction bill from being passed. Abbott says he will keep calling special sessions until it is passed. The current special session ends on August 7th, and Abbott says the next one begins on the next day, August 8th. What's the record for special sessions? Well, between 1989 and 90, Governor Bill Clemens called six special sessions for the 71st legislature. Abbott is trying to gain the upper hand in spinning the story of the quorum bust and in defending the voter restriction bill. He was on Fox News Sunday, and he told host Chris Wallace that Texas voting is easy and compared Texas voting access to another state.
If you look at the hours of voting that Texas provides, it is far more hours of voting than exist in the state where our current president voted in, where they have exactly 0 hours of early voting. It's far easier to vote in the state of Texas than it is in Delaware, and yet nobody is claiming that there's some type of voter suppression taking place in Delaware.
Abbott is not alone in his Delaware bashing. This is Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
We have more early voting than New York or New Jersey, which proudly added 9 days yesterday. So they're up to nine. Or eight states, including Delaware, the home state of the president, that do not have early voting. So if somehow we're accused of being racist because we want to suppress the vote of people of color, I guess New York and New Jersey and Delaware are even more racist.
So what's up with voting access in Delaware? How does it compare to Texas? To find out, I reached out to Roman Battaglia, a politics reporter at Delaware Public Media, and I asked him about the lack of early voting in the Diamond State.
That is certainly one thing that is different about Delaware. I mean, Delaware has not had early voting in the past, but actually one thing that, you know, I'd like to point out is actually early voting is going to become a thing in Delaware starting next year. Lawmakers passed a bill back in 2019. So, you know, before the pandemic, before the 2020 election controversy, which would, you know, allow people to vote up to 10 days in advance at, I think, at least four different locations across the state. And you might think four locations is not a lot, but Delaware is a really small state. So, you know, it's only 2 hours from top to bottom. And so that bill is going to come into effect starting next year in the next elections there. And that bill actually passed with, you know, bipartisan support with the legislature. I think there were only a few Republican lawmakers back then that voted against it. So, I mean, we haven't had early voting in the past, but that's something that, you know, lawmakers have kind of been working towards and expanding. Part of their, you know, agenda has been expanding voting rights. And that's one of the things they did back in 2019.
But there has not been early voting. There was no excuse early voting in the 2020 presidential election. So was it difficult for people to vote during that election?
One big difference, I think, about the 2020 election was the huge expansion of access for absentee and mail-in voting in the state. Our governor, Carney, expanded through emergency orders and allowed everyone in the state to vote absentee, you know, for any reason. And that, I think that increased the turnout. I was looking at the numbers. The 2016 election, we had 6% of voters turning in ballots by mail. And this last election in 2020, 32% of voters turned in their ballots by mail. So absentee voting really was a huge thing. And I think that made it really easy for Delawareans to vote last year. And it really did boost turnout as well. But in previous elections, when we haven't had that expansion of absentee voting, certainly turnout is not as high as other places that, you know, may have better access to, easier access to voting, say, including mail-in voting, easier access to absentee voting and the such.
So it seems like the point is that ease of voting, access to the polls, is more complicated than just trying to say one state has a lot of no excuse early voting days, and the other state does not. So in Texas, whereas we have a lot of no excuse early voting days, but mail-in voting is very difficult, and unless you meet a specific criteria, you're not supposed to do it. It's and they're cracking down on that as well, and they didn't ease up on that even during the pandemic. So it seems like the question to you might be, so in Delaware during November 2020, not having early voting was offset by the fact that mail-in voting was so easy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think the access that people had to mail-in ballots really boosted turnout in the state and made it a lot easier for people to vote, especially just because of the pandemic. A lot of people didn't want to go to the polls. And because of the expanded access, they sent out applications to every registered voter in the state. So if they wanted to apply for an absentee ballot, it was just as simple as, you know, filling out the application and sending it back. 2020 election really changed a lot of minds of the Republican lawmakers in our state about mail-in voting and stuff, and their concerns about fraud that, I mean, don't really seem to be warranted, at least here in Delaware. There hasn't really been any concerns about fraud whatsoever. So, you know, I think that's one of the goals, is expanding that mail-in voting access here.
Well, that's been the concern that people have raised about having ease of access for mail-in voting. They talk about vote traffickers, vote harvesting here in Texas. And so is that become a problem? Have there been scandals, arrests in this area in Delaware?
That's one thing I have talked with a lot of Republican lawmakers in this state about, the ones who are against mail-in voting. A lot of the time their talking point will be, oh, mail-in voting leads to more fraud. It's easier for people to fill out a mail-in ballot than it is, you know, to go in person. And, you know, it's a lot easier for people to commit these frauds. And I always ask them every single time, I'm like, hey, do you have any actual examples of fraud where this has happened? And they can never produce any. And I think that's kind of one of the points is, you know, while these lawmakers often will say, hey, you know, this has a chance for fraud, we've never actually seen a verifiable case of voter fraud, at least in Delaware. Delaware hasn't had an actual, you know, case of voter fraud in decades. And, you know, our elections commissioner is always really open about how the process for mail-in voting works. And I think, you know, knowing that it's secure is something that they're really trying to work on, and, you know, ensuring that, oh, there are a lot of these security checks in place to ensure that you're the right person, that we're not voting twice, you know, that you're not voting by mail and voting in person. And so a lot of these checks are in place. And also another thing I would just say is that I think some of the concerns that people have can often be chalked up to, you know, misconceptions or just miscommunications about the way things work. One thing I was hearing a lot during the 2020 election was lawmakers saying, hey, I have this constituent in, you know, my district who is receiving a mail-in ballot that isn't addressed to them. It's addressed to someone else who's never lived here before or something. And the question is, well, is that actually a mail-in ballot or is that just an application? Because there's a big difference between that. And, you know, a lot of security checks go into place if you fill out an application before you actually receive a ballot. So I think sometimes some people are saying things about fraud when they don't actually know what they're saying, or they don't really understand the actual mechanics of how the poll process works.
Registering to vote is also an issue that is a problem here in Texas. In Texas, to become eligible to vote, you have to register 30 days before the election, which is the minimum time that or the maximum time, depending on how you look at it, that the federal law allows. You have to register in person. You can't do it online. So how easy, how hard is it to register to vote in Delaware?
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed about the Texas system, which was the registering in person seems really interesting. And, you know, Delaware, still does have some of those problems with registering to vote. You do have to register at least 24 days in advance. So not 30 days, but it's still pretty far out there in advance for some people. And also some cities have their own voter rolls as well that they keep. So you have to register both with the state and with the city if you want to vote in municipal elections, which can get confusing. But the actual process of registering to vote is pretty easy. I mean, I recently moved to this state here about a year and a half ago, and you can register online. You can register when you go to the DMV. And lawmakers last session actually passed a bill creating automatic voter registration where, you know, if whenever you interact with the DMV in any way, whether it's getting a driver's license or registering your car, if you're not registered, you're automatically registered to vote. And that's just, you know, part of the Democratic caucus's goal here in the state of expanding access to, you know, creating more registered voters they believe will help encourage them to vote. If they're already registered, it's going to be easier for them. And lawmakers have also been trying to pass same day voter registration, which is becoming a pretty popular thing in other states I've seen. They've been doing that since 2015, but that hasn't been getting as much support as some of the other bills that people have been trying to pass.
Yeah, efforts to have same-day registration or online voter registration has been blocked by the Republican administration over and over again here in Texas. Now, Texas does have a strict voter ID law. Only certain forms of government-issued photo IDs are acceptable, including a concealed handgun license, but you cannot use a government-issued student ID to go vote. Does Delaware have a voter ID requirement?
Yeah, I mean, Delaware has pretty lax voter ID requirements, I would say. Technically, how it kind of works is when you go to the polling place, they say an ID is recommended, but it's not required. You basically can present any form of identification that basically has your name and either a photo of you or a signature. So social security card, you know, school ID, anything like that. And they're basically for them, just having an ID kind of reduces mistakes and helps make the process faster. If you don't have one, you can just sign this affidavit that basically says, I am who I am. And if I lied, I'm going to jail. And, you know, I think it's, you know, Republican lawmakers in the state have also been trying to crack down on voter ID laws here. They introduced legislation last session, which would tighten those voter ID restrictions, require a photo ID at the polls. I think they would require you present an ID when you turn in your absentee ballot, which seems interesting to me since I know most people mail in their absentee ballot. So I'm not really sure how that whole process would work. But, you know, those didn't really garner any Democratic support. And in Delaware, Democrats have a trifecta supermajority, so they need Democrats to get any vote passed. And, you know, I think the Democrats kind of chalked it up to, you know, there hasn't been a verifiable case of voter fraud in the state in decades, and they're just trying to fix a problem that doesn't really exist here.
We hear from Texas politicians in the state leadership, Republicans, saying voter ID is popular, and they will cite that so many states have voter ID and that there's not a controversy, but they don't really explain that there's different types of voter ID. In Delaware, it's not a strict photo voter ID. There's a lot of ways to work with people to establish who they are. And in Texas, it's very strict and very harsh. So you get the idea that just calling it voter ID for these two similar but very different type of processes, it may not be an accurate way of describing it.
Oh yeah, there. I would say that those two are completely different processes in the way of going about it. I mean, the Texas voter ID laws seem just, you know, way more strict and, you know, restrictive, because I think a lot of the reason why the Democrats have been opposed in Delaware to, you know, tightening voter ID laws is because a lot of the fact is that a lot of people of color and a lot of, you know, poor and other minority people don't have as much access to a photo ID. Photo IDs often, especially the ones that are required by these laws, can be a lot harder to get. You know, driver's licenses cost money to get, and also, you know, you need to take a test, you need to have a car to get a driver's license. Even just getting an identification from the DMV still costs money and time, which you may not have if you're working, you know, multiple jobs. So it often can disproportionately, those voter ID laws affect minorities and, you know, poorer populations.
So the bottom line in trying to make this comparison between how easy is it to vote in Texas versus how easy is it to vote in Delaware, I guess really comes down to what is the percentage of voter turnout in Delaware. So in 2020, what did y'all have?
Yeah, our 2020 turnout, we had, I believe it was 68% turnout rate, which is pretty high. I'm pretty sure that might have been the highest turnout rate we've had in a very long time. The 2016 election, I think we had around 65%. So, you know, voter turnout is pretty high in the state. And I think that I agree with you that, you know, voter turnout is a pretty good indicator of how easy it is to vote, because, you know, the more barriers that are broken down to bring the make it easier to vote and, you know, make access to voting easier, the more people are actually going to actually go out and do it. And I think one example of that is looking at states like Utah and Washington and Oregon, which primarily vote by mail. You know, most people who are registered in those states get their ballot by the mail, and, you know, they can just fill it out and then mail it back to them. Pretty much most of the states, I think you can even do it for free when you mail it back without a stamp. So, and those states you see turnout consistently above 70%. So I think in states where you see the barriers to voting reduced, you see a lot more people voting because it's just easier for them. They don't have to drive anywhere. They don't have to do anything. They can just go on the way. The more access, the higher turnout is. You know, it's simple as that.
Well, in trying to make the comparison to Texas, it's actually, it gets a little complicated because in Texas, we have a huge gap between people who are of voting age. We can say those are, that's eligible of voters, people who are eligible to vote, and we have and the number of people who are actually registered to vote. So if we look at the turnout of people who were registered to vote for the 2020 election, the turnout number looks pretty good. It's a 66.7%. But when you look at the comparison of the number of people who were of voting age population, that number drops, and it drops to 52%. The number that we can tout, like, oh, Texas has a 66% of voter turnout, but that's of registered voters and not of eligible voters. And so it's kind of a squishy number.
Yeah. I think that's interesting in that there's two sorts of ways. There's two things you have to look at. You have to look at both voter turnout, and also you need to look at the percentage of people who are actually registered to vote. And I think because there's the, of course, access to voting, whereas the, you know, ease of getting to the ballot box, and then also just the ease of actually getting registered, you know.
Right. And in Delaware, when y'all make it easier to register to vote, you have automatic voter registration. That number is going to be much more closely aligned. But here in Texas, where we make it so hard to register to vote, not so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So overall, what's the general vibe in Delaware? Do people feel like elections are safe and secure there, that you don't need to have crackdowns with voter security type bills that like we're seeing here in Texas and other southern states?
I would totally agree with that. I would say that, you know, at least from my experience, you know, there has been no cases of voter fraud here in the state, or at least none that our elections commissioner or any us journalists can find. You know, I wouldn't say that voter suppression is really a concern. I think a lot of people find it easy to vote. A lot of the voters that I've talked to, you know, are used to the way they vote. And the way that the trend lines are going, I think, is really important to look at, obviously, in that in Texas, the legislature is moving to restrict voting more, whereas in Delaware, the legislature is moving to expand voting more. And so I think both states, while they might have similarities, are moving in opposite directions in terms of access to voting.
Roman Battaglia is the politics reporter at Delaware Public Media. Texas House Democrats, they remain in Washington, D.C. this weekend as their quorum bus walkout carries on. And by being absent, they are blocking the passage of the voter restriction bill and other legislation that the Republican-controlled Texas legislature is looking to pass. Now, this is not the first time that Democratic lawmakers have used this tactic to bust quorum. Texas Public Radio's Dominic Anthony Walsh takes us back to 2003.
Do you remember 2003? 50 Cent was at the top of the Billboard 100.
God bless you all, and God bless America.
George W. Bush was in his first term. Folks were wearing capri pants and dresses over jeans. And in Texas,
members, if I can have your attention.
Tom Craddock had just become the first Republican Speaker of the Texas House in over a century. But there was a problem.
We just talked to the DPS officers that are up in Ardmore, and the House members said they're not coming back.
That's Ardmore, Oklahoma, about a half hour from the Texas border.
They fled to Oklahoma because they were looking for a state with a Democratic governor, which Oklahoma had at the time.
Sherry Greenberg was a Democratic representative in the State House through 2001 and is now a professor at UT Austin's LBJ School of Public Affairs. She recalled the Democrats' reason for choosing Oklahoma on the Texas Standard.
Because they knew that they would not, that the governor would not send them back out of Oklahoma to Texas since he was a Democrat. And they also knew that DPS, the state troopers, could not arrest them in Oklahoma across state lines and bring them back to Texas.
Joaquin Castro, who is now a U.S. Congress member, was one of the Texas representatives who traveled out of state back in 2003.
Well, it's just like now. We had exhausted every other tool that we had, every other way to express our strong disagreement with what amounted to Republicans trying to rig a system to make sure that more of their people would get elected.
2003 marked the first Texas state legislative session with a Republican majority since Reconstruction. The Republicans decided to redraw the state's voting districts for the national congressional elections. And House Democrats left the state in an attempt to prevent Republicans from solidifying their blossoming power. But as Joaquin Castro explains, Texas Democrats didn't have any other recourse and eventually restored the quorum.
And really, that's the big difference between 2003 and 2021, is that the federal Congress can actually step in here and do something in this moment in a way that in 2003 just wasn't available.
Back then, the fight was focused on voting districts, with Republicans pushing what Democrats described as heavily gerrymandered maps. Now, Republicans are trying to make it harder to vote, citing the so-called big lie of widespread voter fraud. Democrats and many observers say the push is actually about suppressing voters who might not support Republicans.
Not just in Texas. I think that's a national phenomena that the greater the turnout, the more dangerous it is for Republicans.
Harvey Kronberg is the publisher of The Quorum Report, an insider newsletter about Texas politics. Back in 2003, when his website had just launched, Republicans were trying to shift the political power map in Texas. Now, they're trying to preserve their power.
There are some things in the bills that are good, except for the fact that there is a national effort, and it's undeniable that it is this national effort on the part of Republicans is to make it more difficult to vote, to raise the bar, the threshold on voting.
Back in 2003, the Democrats successfully delayed redistricting, but they couldn't prevent it. Now, Texas Democrats are urging Congress to pass federal voting protections. Congress has tried, but Senate Republicans have used the filibuster to block the attempts. Back to Congressman Joaquin Castro, who says he plans to pressure his colleagues and the White House.
Pressing these senators so that even if they don't remove the filibuster on health care or immigration legislation or anything else, that they do it to protect people's voting rights.
If the filibuster stays in place and more federal voting rights protections remain stalled, Texas Democrats could see a repeat of 2003.
They're back. 55 Texas.
This tape comes from the May 15th, 2003 edition of the NewsHour on PBS.
Democrats returned early this morning after the deadline for action on the bill had expired. They were cheered later by supporters at the state capitol.
Then Governor Rick Perry would go on to call three special sessions. State Republicans were able to redraw the congressional districts before the election. And Texas sent its first majority Republican group of representatives to Congress for the first time since Reconstruction. I'm Dominic Anthony Walsh in San Antonio.
It's not just Democratic House members that are in Washington, D.C. right now. They're also Democratic state senators. They too fled the state, but not enough of them to block the Senate on Tuesday from passing the voter restriction bill with a party line vote of 18-4. With 22 of the 31 members in the Senate present, their quorum is intact and bills can be passed. San Antonio State Senator Jose Menendez is in D.C. with the breakaway Democrats. I spoke to him about what they're looking to accomplish.
So what has happened on our side of the equation, we had a conversation about having every tool in the toolbox still available and what we could do and what message we could send. And we all... I didn't just take anybody's word for it. I'm a little frustrated with people that say we're not reading the bill. Well, not only did I read the bill, I also sat in for 8 hours of testimony, 8 of the 24 or 5. And I'm not a member of the committee of jurisdiction that heard the bill, but I sat there and I asked questions of MALDEF and NAACP and many in the disabled community. And I came away convinced that this bill was meant to shave points off close elections. It's a bill that's meant you know, it's meant to have an influence and impact on elections in such a subtle way that there is plausible deniability so that people can have their voices and talk about how they're all they want is election integrity. Well, you know, if you're worried about that, why didn't you confirm? Why didn't you keep your Secretary of State?
So you're in D.C., but there's not enough senators in Washington, D.C. from Texas to bust the quorum in the Texas Senate. There are still some Texas senators still in the chamber. Was that by design, or is that a disappointment? What can you tell listeners about what is happening with that process?
Every Texas senator has approximately a million people in their Senate districts, which with that many people, obviously, it makes for very diverse communities, diverse opinions. And so I'm not going to put myself in a position to judge the motives or intentions of any senator. I'm here because I find that legislation so egregious that I felt that it was important for me to help be part of the voice, part of the group of Texas legislators that added not just support to the House members, but added our voice and our explanations to the legislators who would hear us.
How is this going to play out? This U.S. Senate doesn't do away with the filibuster and take up these issues and pass voter protection. Where does that leave you?
You know, that's the tough question. That is a tough question because it has variables in there that are outside of our control. But here's the thing. When are you going to stand up? When are you going to fight back? And I've heard that so many times from so many people. And I think at times it's been well-deserved, and at times it hasn't. So what happened this time, we said, you know what, we're not going to sit in those chairs. We're not going to just debate for another 8 hours a bad bill that we debated, knowing that they have the votes, knowing that they're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to stand up, and we're going to do something, and we're going to bring the fight, and we're going to bring the issue up here, and we're going to make our case as strong as we can to people who can actually pass something to protect not just the voters of Texas, but the voters of this whole country. The Justice Department is needed to engage now more than ever, because Texas is not the only state where these voter suppression laws are being conducted. Florida, Georgia, and other states. And in those legislatures, they did what we've done in the past. They fought like hell, and then they pass, and now they sue, you know? But we got to a point, we've gotten to a point where we've had enough has been enough, you know, and you can sugarcoat something, you can dress it up, you can put lipstick on it, but it's still ugly. It's still wrong. It still hurts people. And so we're just done. We've had enough. And so I don't know how it plays out, but I will tell you this. I can rest at night. I can see myself in the mirror. I can hold my head up saying I did everything I could.
Texas Senator Jose Menendez is a San Antonio Democrat. He's in Washington, D.C. with other Texas Democratic lawmakers. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past Texas Matters episodes to listen to, and you can find us wherever you download your podcast. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.